Good morning and welcome to this worship service. It is wonderful to have each of you here with us this morning. I invite you to stand and join me in the call to worship, which is printed in your bulletin. The God of rushing wind and fire dwells here in our presence in this hour and every hour. God, who called all the world into being, calls forth new life in us today. God, whose Spirit unites all people in a common language of love, confirms his gifts in us as we gather here. Come, Holy Spirit, and do in us and for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. Let the doubts and fears that grow in darkness be overcome and banished by your presence and work in our lives. Stir our hearts to love you today, and by that love, to love one another. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great to see you on this Pentecost Sunday, and I want to invite you to share a word of greeting, a word of peace and grace with others who are here in worship today. There's a few things I want to highlight in the life of the church. For those of you who are covenant members, we are electing our leaders this morning. So if you haven't had a chance yet to fill out your ballot, you can do so on the lower level of the church following the service this morning. And we appreciate all of you who are participating in this important part of what it means to be the church. Also, for the if you'll notice that there's a fundraiser going on this morning for this Quench project. Our goal is to complete the fundraising of putting up two wells in Africa, and we're getting near the end of that, and this is one way to accomplish it. So if you've signed up for that, be sure and get your dinner afterwards. You go to the community room. If you didn't sign up, there might be a few extras you can go over and see, and you might be able to get a dinner. I don't know how much is going to be left. They had a great turnout of people who have reserved dinners for this fundraiser this morning. Tonight at 6, we're gathering as a church to have our vision meeting. And we want to invite all of you to come to this meeting, whether you're a member or not. If you're a part of this church, please come to the meeting. We're going to hear a few stories of some things that God has done in people's lives through the church this year. We'll sing together. We'll have some time of fellowship. We're also going to be talking about some ideas, some things that God may be putting in our hearts collectively for this coming year, and you'll have a chance to sit in some smaller groups and to talk through some of those ideas. And we are excited about getting your input, your thoughts about how God may be directing us as a church. So please join us tonight at 6. We have child care available. We'll probably be done between 7 and 7:15, so it won't be a real long time. But we certainly would love to have you there, whether you're a member or not, to be a part of this gathering in the community room at 6 tonight. We want to thank everyone who helped with the work day yesterday. It's things look beautiful. We appreciate all of the time and energy and effort involved in that. And there's also another opportunity for ministry in June, working with Children's Sunday School. You see the announcement about that. Love to have you be a part of that if you can. We are privileged to support the Wellspring Ministry in Angelica. And we've been part of that organization for a number of years. Goody Stevenson, who is a member of our church, is also on the board there, is going to be coming and sharing just a little bit about what Wellspring does and what some plans that they see as God is leading them for the future.
I appreciate this opportunity to share with those of you who are in the service this morning a little bit about Wellspring. The word gets thrown around a lot around here. We hear about Wellspring Ministries. Sometimes Wellspring is a beneficiary at our Christmas Eve service when we decide to whom to give our offering and so forth. But some of you may not really know what Wellspring is all about. Wellspring is actually located in what used to be the Angelica Bible Church, right off of 19 on County Route 16, just over the little bridge that's been remodeled on the way down toward Belmont. And that church was deeded to us when they exceeded their capacity there. Wellspring Board is made up of volunteers. From our church, Beth Beardsley and I are on the board now, along with Jim Arthur from Belmont, and many of you know Ruth and Dennis Dole, who live in the town of Allen. And we have many volunteers. We've had many volunteers from among college students and so forth. But we are basically a ministry to people who need support. And that support takes many forms. Our mission statement says our mission is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people of Allegheny County by providing food, clothing, and household goods, and to mentor them to be all that God created them to be. Each Wednesday and Friday and one Tuesday evening each month, we offer a meal and an opportunity for people in need to find donated clothing, household goods, and toys. Our volunteers mentor clients in life skills and offer a caring and comfortable environment in which many can begin to heal from the hardships and personal disasters they have encountered. We began in 2005, served about 500 meals that year. I don't know exactly what month it began or so forth. And this past year, we've served about 5,500 meals to people. And that's 2 days a week. For lunch, we can get anywhere from as low as 30 or 35 people, and there have been times when we've had over 70 people. And it's kind of, we just go in faith. I started my involvement with Wellspring about 4 years ago just by dropping off donated clothing. And that's one of the big things we need is for people to give us good used items. That includes furniture, anything that's in working order. We ask people not to donate things that need repair because we're just not set up to be able to repair things. But if you are replacing a washer or dryer, for example, if you can get it to Wellspring, or even if you need help getting it there, we can usually work something out. But we need good used items. Bedding is always needed. Sheets and towels. Think about how expensive it costs to go out and buy a set of sheets nowadays. And people who are on a limited income are really dependent on the kinds of ministries that the kind of ministry we have at Wellspring to be able to get good used items. Last week, many of you are aware that Bill John Newbro presented a Mother's Day concert on behalf of Wellspring Sunday afternoon. And frankly, I guess I didn't have a lot of faith. I thought, oh boy, Sunday afternoon on Mother's Day, how many people will show up for this thing? Well, we had, my husband told me he counted about 120. They were sprinkled throughout the congregation. And I was very encouraged as I began to see people come in. It was a free will offering. And those 120 people multiplied into $2,779 in offering. And in addition to that, Bill John very graciously donated the proceeds of CDs and DVDs with his music that totaled $480. And so we have over $3,200 based on that concert last Sunday afternoon. So God is able to take what we have and multiply it. But we need a big multiplication. We have outgrown our facility. We really need expanded kitchen facility to be able to accommodate the increasing numbers of people that we're getting who have needs that we can help supply. We need your items. We need capacity. And part of the reason we're asking for specific funding for our building fund is that a local physician has approached us about partnering to be able to offer free health care services to monitor the chronically ill. These would include older people, undoubtedly, but people who still fall through the health care cracks. And he would like to be able to partner with us in providing those services, and we look ahead to perhaps even more beyond that. But we need to expand our facility to be able to do that. So we had set a goal of $100,000 by June 30th. We've modified that little. We think we can do it with $85,000. And we are about one-third of the way there. Some of you received a brochure earlier this year that presented the need. If you didn't, let me just assure you that the money will be well spent. We have a local contractor who is willing to do the work with us, and we would like to get started this summer so that the building can hopefully at least be enclosed, and then we can work from there. I started doing some math, and I thought, you know, even with that $100,000 goal, if we had 500 people in Allegheny County, remember the story of Gideon, you know, down to 300 people who finally won the battle for him? If we had 500 people who donated $500 apiece, we'd have our goal of $100,000. Well, we're one-third of the way there, so we don't need quite that much. But perhaps there's something that you could do. We're almost done with our missions pledge year at the end of this month, and we're almost there. And perhaps the Lord might lay it on some of your hearts. We have applied for some grants. Some of you might be wondering, do we do that? Yes, we do. We had a wonderful grant proposal, we were told, by an organization that recently turned us down for the express reason that they felt that it was not in their purview to fund bricks and mortar projects. And they're a local group. But they said, we really do want to support Wellspring, but we'd like to see the community really rally behind the building fund. If we can get the building going, then I think we will have some more opportunities. Our budget is only $20,000 a year, and there is no income for Wellspring other than the generosity of people. And what's really touching is to see the people that come through our doors with what little they have throw change in the jar that sits out there for anyone who wants to contribute. People who come to Wellspring have all kinds of needs. We're fond in this country, we're full of independent people, of saying that we like to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and be independent and do for ourselves. Well, this is an opportunity for us here in this county to do for the people among us who are unable for a number of reasons. Sometimes it's illness. Sometimes it's poverty, and poverty takes lots of forms. It's not just lack of money. Lack of money is the obvious kind of poverty, but sometimes people grow up with so many disadvantages. They don't come from a supportive family. They don't have the love that we all assume children should have in a nurturing family. And they don't grow up with models of people who know how to make good choices and exercise sound judgment, which is the way Proverbs talks about wisdom. And any of us who are getting older know that we feel a little wiser, but nobody really benefits from our wisdom in a sense because it comes out of experience. And it's through experiences that we get wisdom. And some people just have a lifetime full of many negative experiences. At Wellspring, we try to love them. When I first started, I got very frustrated when I started volunteering because I heard some very sad stories. And I wanted to wave a magic wand and say to people, be healed or have enough money to pay your bills this month. And that just doesn't happen. And I thought, how am I really doing anything? And the Lord brought to my mind the conclusion that the way I best help is by loving people in the moment. Just like my children depend on me to love them in the moment when I'm with them. And I'm not with them very often anymore, so I look forward to those times of loving them in the moment. Everyone needs to be loved. Everyone needs that non-judgmental love. And Wellspring is a place where I've been told by people, a man named Richard, who tragically died in a house fire a couple of years ago. I can remember sitting down with him. He was on dialysis 3 times a week. He lived in Wellsville, drove to Hornell, and he and a friend every week were there, every Wednesday, every Friday, right at 10 o'clock when we opened. They'd sit at the lunch table waiting for the noon hour when they would be served lunch. They would sometimes gather a bag of some clothing. But they were there for fellowship. And Richard told me, he said, this is a place that, this is my church. And I kind of chuckled to myself because we don't deliver sermons. Occasionally, a volunteer will pray with someone else, but we're not shoving anything down anybody's throat in terms of dogmatism. We're just trying to show the love of Christ. And Richard said to me, when I come here, he said, I used to belong to a church in Wellsville, but I felt judged by people there. I wasn't good enough. When I come to Wellsville, I feel like people care about me and love me. That's what we try to do. We need more volunteers. We've had 2 really good volunteers who've been with us and faithful for many years. One moved, one is ill. And so if you would care to volunteer time, we'd love to have you come by and fill out a short form and have you become part of our volunteers. But if you can find it in your hearts and your wallets, if that's possible, to help us out in our building fund, we would certainly appreciate any help that you can give us toward our goal so that we can hopefully continue to minister to the people of Allegheny County for free. Nothing at Wellspring costs anything. We welcome anyone and everyone for free. We don't ask them to fill out a financial statement when they walk in the door. You are all welcome. Come and have a meal with us sometime. Thank you.
Thank you, Goody. Appreciate that. I want to invite you to join me in the prayer of confession that is printed in your bulletin. Let's pray together. Almighty God, you poured your Spirit upon gathered disciples, creating bold tongues, open ears, and a new community of faith. We confess that we hold back the force of your Spirit among us. We do not listen for your word of grace, speak the good news of your love, or live as a people made one in Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Transform our timid lives by the power of your Spirit, and fill us with a flaming desire to be your faithful people, doing your will for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Old Testament scripture reading is Joel 2, verses 28 through 32. And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord. As the ushers come forward to assist us in the giving of our tithes and offerings, please stand for the doxology. Grant us sensitive spirits, O God, that we may be guided by your will and purposes in all that we do. Accept our offerings and bless them in your service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
God has given us the privilege of praying to him, offering to him our burdens, our concerns, our praises. As we pray together today, if you'd like to use the altar rail as the place where you offer your prayers, please come and join me. Father, we hear your call to come, to receive your blessing, and to pour out our hearts before you. In this moment of silence, give us ears to hear and assure us that you hear our prayers as we offer them to you. Father, on this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the gift of your Holy Spirit and the birth of your church. Thank you for the work of your Spirit in us and in the church, giving us wisdom and encouragement, convicting us and comforting us. We come today in gratitude that the church is not a human institution, but your divine family. Help us to be your people, to be your church, open to the power of your Spirit and a presence in this world of great need. Father, we pray for all among us who are struggling today with pains and difficulties that come to us in our lives on this earth. We pray for those who are grieving today. Wrap your arms of love around each one. We pray for all who are struggling with frailties of body, mind, relationship. Heal every disease. Restore all that is broken. In moments when discouragement covers us like a storm cloud, give us hope through a glimpse of your Son. Father, help us to see the church as you see. Help us to love the church as you love. Help us to commit to the church as you have committed all that you are. We pray this for the church here and the church around the world. As your people come together, some with freedom to do whatever they would like to do, many who gather at the risk of life and limb, pour out your Spirit upon your people. We pray this through Christ, the Lord of the church, the husband of the church, and the one who teaches us to pray as the church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our New Testament scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 8 through 27. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the word of the Lord.
Father, we pray that your Spirit will speak deeply into our lives. Come to us, change us, help us. And we pray this through Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The 12th chapter of the 12th verse of the 14th chapter of John's Gospel is one of the most amazing and incredible verses in the whole Bible. Jesus says, I can guarantee you this truth. Those who believe in me will do the things that you've seen me do. And even more, you will do more, greater things than what you've seen me do. We do greater things than Jesus? I mean, it blows my mind that Jesus says we will do greater things than him. And you read a passage like that and you think, how in the world is that possible? How could that possibly be? And the answer is what we celebrate this day. On Pentecost, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this whole chapter, 14 and on into 15 and 16, these words that Jesus teaches on this last night before he goes to the cross, remind us that all of this is possible only because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that Jesus is sending as he ascends to the Father. The Holy Spirit is kind of an enigma to us, I think. When we think about the Trinity, the Father, it's pretty easy for us to grasp because we have an understanding of parenthood. We understand fathers, children. And Jesus, we get pretty well because he became one of us. And we read the Gospels and we see him doing things that we do and we resonate with that. But the Spirit is a whole different thing. And it's hard for us sometimes to wrap our minds around the Spirit. And because of that, the Holy Spirit has often been ignored or at least pushed to the periphery of much of how the church thinks about God. There was a teacher years ago that was working with her students on learning the Apostles' Creed. And she had assigned parts of the creed to different students. And so as the week came, they came together, she had them go through the room and recite their parts. And so the first one, I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. And the next, I believe in Jesus Christ. And on they went. And then there was just silence. Nobody said anything. She looked around the room and finally one of the boys said, oh yeah, the kid that believes in the Holy Spirit isn't here today. And there is something about that in the way that we view God that we don't quite understand the Holy Spirit, and so we don't talk about it a whole lot. But this is a day, Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes upon Christ's disciples and he transforms their lives. And Jesus says we will be able to do greater things because the Spirit is coming. Now, it's interesting when you look at verse 16 of this chapter, of chapter 14. Jesus said he's going to pray to the Father and ask him to send the Spirit. He's going to ask him to send the Greek word paraclete, the helper, comforter, advocate, a whole lot of definitions of that word. But he's going to send the Holy Spirit to help us. Now, that prayer that Jesus prays, it isn't a prayer of desperation. It's not as though Jesus is getting to the end of his life before the cross and all of a sudden it dawns on him, oh wait, we don't have a plan for after this. What's going to happen here? And there's a hole in the eternal plan that we designed. And so he has to quickly pray this prayer. That's not what this is about at all. This is not a prayer for the Father to do something that he hadn't thought about before. This is a prayer for the disciples to understand what the Father's plan has been from the beginning. Jesus says, I'm asking the Father to do what we've planned from the beginning to do. And I'm praying this just so you understand that it's my purpose and it's the Father's purpose to send the Spirit. We don't have to coerce God to send the Spirit. There isn't something that might be holding the Spirit back. The Spirit is coming because the Father wants to send the Spirit to live in you, to help you. And as Jesus ascends into heaven, 10 days later, the Spirit comes. And it's not as though the Spirit hasn't been at work all the time. You read through the Old Testament and you see many instances where the Spirit is discussed and talked about and seen. But at Pentecost, the Spirit comes in a new way, in a bigger way, in a more powerful way than we have seen before. And the Spirit comes to help us. And we need that. Jesus knows that his disciples are not enough. On their best days, they're not even close to enough. None of us are. We need the Spirit. Not just to do the greater things than Jesus, but to honestly do anything that might be good. We need the Spirit. Because none of us are good enough in ourselves to accomplish what we even want to accomplish, much less what God wants to accomplish in us and through us. And so the Spirit comes. And the Spirit is coming, is initiated on Pentecost. He also tells us that he calls him the Spirit of Truth. And he says in verses 7 to 9 that the Spirit of Truth is coming to illuminate what Jesus has revealed about the Father all throughout his time on earth. Jesus keeps saying that he's here to help us understand who the Father is, what the Father does, the nature, the character of the Father. And so as this, verse 7, Philip says, Jesus, show us the Father and that'll be enough. And Jesus looks at him incredulous. What do you mean, show you the Father? What do you think I've been doing all of these years we've been together? He doesn't say this, but you sort of get the idea. He's saying, Philip, are you that stupid? Jesus would never say that to him. He's kinder than we are. But in essence, he's saying, what are you thinking about? Of course I've been showing you the Father. You see me, you see him. And now the Spirit is going to make that even clearer to you. All of the things that I've been telling you that you have been scratching your head about, that you haven't been able to quite to understand, the Spirit is going to help you understand it. You're going to sense the Spirit in a way as you go through your lives, as you go through the ups and the downs of the struggles of your life, and you're trying to figure out where is God in this, the Spirit is going to show you. Because it's when we are going through those difficult times, when we're wrestling with where is God? Where is God in this moment? How is God at work here? How come I'm not sensing it? The Spirit comes along and says, God is right here. What you saw in Jesus as you read the Gospels, that's the Father, and he is here. And the Spirit opens our eyes to his presence with us when we are questioning and wondering. And what does he show us? Well, we see in Jesus that the Father is truth and grace. The Father is love and holiness. The Father is compassion and mercy. And in our difficult moments of life, when life is squeezing us, sometimes it's hard to see that. And in those moments, the Spirit comes and speaks into our lives of the true nature of who God is. But as I read the New Testament, even as I read the Old Testament and the people of Israel, it's clear to me that the Spirit reveals who God is primarily and centrally through the church. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, this is where we find the story of the Spirit coming upon the disciples of Pentecost. And he comes upon them with these flames of tongues, and they speak in tongues. Thousands of people come to Christ in that one day. But when you get to the end of that chapter of Acts 2, you find that now they're not just a group of disciples who happen to be together. When you cut to the end of the chapter, because the Spirit has come upon them, they are now this one cohesive unit, the church. And from that moment on, it's all about the church. You read through the book of Acts, and Paul, even though he goes out on his own, it's about the church. It's about establishing the church. It's about the Spirit in the church and through the church. And on we see that. And even in the Old Testament, the Spirit speaks to God's people as the people of Israel. Why do we need the church? Why does God reveal the Spirit most effectively and normally through the church? Because on our own, we don't always get the Spirit right. We get confused and we misunderstand and we misinterpret. When it's just us, we're not the best at discerning the Spirit. But together we do a much better job of discerning what the Spirit is saying to us, how the Spirit is speaking to us. It's together that as we share what we sense the Spirit saying into our lives, that we say to each other, well, you know, I'm not sure the Spirit would say that. And then we make corrections. And other times we affirm, yes, that sounds exactly like something the Spirit would say. That's exactly what I think you ought to be doing and the direction you ought to go. And we encourage each other and we hold each other accountable to understanding what the Spirit is saying to us about who God is and about what it means to be a follower of God. We need the church. And the Spirit reveals himself primarily and centrally and normally through the church. And as the church, we then begin to understand the Spirit's presence with us. And it's seldom about ecstatic experiences. You know, we'd all love to experience the Spirit like they did on Pentecost Day. And sometimes we get those moments. And certainly those are gifts of God. And we, our theological perspective as part of the Methodist movement and the Wesleyan movement, we value experiences and we believe God teaches us through experiences. But the problem is we begin to worship experiences. And then we begin to have to feel like we have to manufacture experiences because we equate some kind of ecstatic experience with the Holy Spirit. And we got to be careful about that. Because when I read the scriptures, what I find is that the most common means of experiencing and understanding the Spirit is not through an ecstatic experience, it's through obedience. It's through openness to the Spirit, trusting God. And in verse 15 of John 14, Jesus says, if you love me, you obey my commands. And then the very next thing he says, I'll ask the Father and he'll send you the Helper. He'll send you the Holy Spirit. And as I was reading that, I thought, that seems like an odd jump to go from, if you love me, you obey my commands, to the Father, I'll ask the Father to send you the Spirit. And then it struck me that nothing could be more appropriate. Because the connection of the Spirit coming and our obedience and love for Christ are wed together. We're open to receive the Spirit and to experience the Spirit when we are humble and when we trust and when there's a spirit of openness and a teachable spirit in us. That's when the Spirit begins to reveal himself to us in significant ways. When we are arrogant and self-absorbed and closed off to the Spirit, when we are wrestling with disobedience to what we know God is calling us to do, we begin to shut the door on the Spirit speaking into our lives and changing us. So if you're thinking about your own life and you're thinking, I'm following all the disciplines, I'm praying, I'm coming to worship, I'm reading the scriptures, I'm being generous with what I have, but it seems like I'm not going anywhere. Maybe the question to ask is there a disobedience? Is there something that I know I ought to be doing and I have refused to do it? And it shuts off the Spirit. And I have had many experiences in my own life, talked to many people through the years, who the moment we obey, it's like we've just opened up the dam and the flood of the Spirit pours into us. And we see spiritual growth take place. It is that sense of loving Jesus, obeying him, having a spirit of openness that gives the Spirit freedom to speak into our lives and our hearts. And often it happens in the difficult moments of life. In those moments when life turns sideways and we feel helpless and we wonder, where is God? It's in those moments when the Spirit can speak so clearly into our hearts. And so as you come to the end of the section we read in verse 27, Jesus says, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And the Spirit who comes to you will be a Spirit who will give you my peace. And in that peace, you will find confidence and courage as you deal with the stuff of life that comes to all of us. The Spirit always brings a sense of confidence and courage, not in us, but in Him. In the Spirit, there is confidence to make good decisions. There is confidence to keep taking steps of trust and faith. And there is courage to stand firm, even when we are tempted to the nth degree. There is courage to love when we'd rather not. There's courage to forgive when we'd rather not. Because the Spirit is speaking and changing us and working in us. One author talks about that word paraclete that is translated comforter, advocate, helper. He says it traces it back to an old Greek warrior term. He says that when the Greeks went into battle, they would often fight in pairs. And they would stand back to back to each other, so that they were protecting each other's blind spots. And so if you were standing someone behind you, you would protect this far and this half in front of you, and they would protect that half in front of them. And you were much more likely to be able to handle the enemies that came. No one could sneak up on you. He says the word that was used to describe that particular battle position was that person standing behind you with their weapons was the paraclete. And the Holy Spirit is standing back to back with us, giving us courage and confidence as we go through our lives. And when the parent, no wonder Jesus talks about the presence of the Spirit bringing peace. Now, he never says we're going to be free from struggles, that we're going to be free from difficulties. In fact, the very point that he makes is you're going to have those things. You're going to deal with tough things. You're going to deal with struggle. You're going to struggle, and there's going to be all kinds of hardships in your life. That's why you need the Spirit to give you peace in the midst of those. And he does. That's why Pentecost is one of the great celebrations of the church calendar. It is a day to celebrate and rejoice because the Spirit has come, and the Spirit comes to change us and to transform us individually and together. And it is a day of rejoicing. I love the way Scott McKnight describes it. He says that on Pentecost, this day when we're indwelt with the Spirit, we are summoned to the great dance of the Trinity. And he says, we are invited to come and called to get on the dance floor. And the music is grace and love and holiness and peace. And God is supplying the music. And he invites all of his children to come and sing and dance along. He says, Pentecost is an invitation to God's great dance. Now, you may not resonate with that image of dancing. You know, maybe that has negative connotations for you. But whatever comes to your mind about celebration, about joy, because the Spirit has come and God has not left us when Christ leaves, not left us as orphans, but he's given us his Spirit to help us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to teach us, to reveal himself to us, and we celebrate. And that's why we come to the table today. We come to the table because it is a precursor to the great eternal celebration that we will share together as God's people on that day and for eternity. And the bread and the cup are food for our souls as we rejoice that God has sent us his Spirit, and it changes everything. So this morning, whatever you may be facing, whatever you come to today as you're wrestling in your life, know the Spirit's presence with you, inviting you to come and to rejoice and to celebrate and to know his strength and his presence, because he loves you, because he cares for you, because you're his child. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit into this world and into our lives and establishing the church. We know the church isn't perfect. We certainly aren't. But your Spirit gives us life and joy and a reason to celebrate as we are reminded of who you are and of all that you have done and are doing and have promised to do. Fill us today. Take away our fears. Give us spirits and hearts that are open to you, that we might experience the power of your Spirit. We pray that you would pour out your rich and abundant blessings upon the bread and the cup. Let them be food for our souls. As we eat and drink, minister your grace into every part of our being. And let your Spirit fill us and transform us, comfort us, and help us. We pray this through Christ. Amen. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks to the Father in heaven and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples saying, "Take, eat, for this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." On the same night he took the cup. Again he gave thanks to the Father in heaven and gave it to his disciples saying, "Drink from this all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for your sins and the sins of all people. Every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me." We are receiving communion this morning by the mode of intinction. It means to dip in. And as you're released by rows, come to the front, tear off a piece of bread, dip it into the cup and eat it. And then you may return to your seat by the outside aisles. The altar rail is always open if you'd like to stay and pray. If coming to the front is difficult for you, or if you simply prefer, we have a tray of bread and cups, and we are happy to serve you in your seats. Just let the usher know as your row is released. I always like to mention that we practice open communion at the Wesleyan Church. Perhaps this is the first time that you have ever come here to worship. But if you come today with your heart and mind open to Christ, and you desire the Spirit to be at work in your life, come and receive these gifts from our gracious and loving Heavenly Father. Receive the benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.